This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Victor Wembanyama made his debut last night against the Dallas Mavericks. We weren't quite sure what to expect. We did try to speculate what he would put up. The over-under was 17.5 points. And we thought, well, let's look at what the combined numbers would be if you had points, rebounds, and block shots. And I think the numbers that we came up with were, I was probably around 36 points last night. And let me see, I had 34 as a total. I had 17, 12, and 5 blocks. Seton had a total of 32. Marv had 36. Fritzy had 26. Paulie had 25. The final count for Victor Wembanyama with points, rebounds, and block shots.
21.
Well, congratulations, Paul.
Oh. Yeah. See, I didn't want to win it.
No. I thought he was going to put up better numbers, bigger numbers. He got into foul trouble. But, you know, overall, you're just sort of looking at how does he, you know, move up and down the floor? How are they using him? You know, he's 19. And he made some mistakes that 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds make. And you're going to make hustle mistakes. I'm okay with that. It's what do you learn? And you're going to learn from a Hall of Fame coach who's coached big men and David Robinson and Tim Duncan. Now, what are you going to be able to do? What do you add? What do you, you know, when you realize that you've made some silly fouls, you're trying to help everybody out. You got to pick your spots. But overall, I think it was a pretty positive debut. Here is Victor Wembanyama on foul trouble.
You know, it's just, I think this is how I try to play every time I get back on the court, but since I got back for like 30 seconds and most of the times I got subbed in because of my fouls, I couldn't really get comfortable.
And don't go for the pump fake. Yeah, he did. He can block every shot if he wants to. He can get out there to get a shot. But these guys are so much better, bigger, faster, smarter than the players he was playing with and against in Europe. They're going to find out what you will fall for. And he wanted to help out. And it's his first game. He's 19, a lot of pressure. In fact, he even talked about that pressure of trying to be great last night.
Of course, I want to give the best show to the fans, and especially in here, San Antonio, and in France. But it's still my job. I still got responsibilities towards my coach and my teammates. So really, it's not what matters.
And then here's Greg Popovich, Spurs head coach, on Victor's performance.
I think it was great. One of the toughest things for a player is you get into foul trouble and you never get into rhythm and you're in and out of the game and that sort of thing. So I thought his maturity showed even at a young age where he came in with the last, I think, 7 minutes. And just play. We ran some stuff for him. He executed. Where a lot of guys would have been totally out of it by then because they, as you said, were in foul trouble and didn't get their rhythm. So I thought he had a wonderful outing considering that.
Victor had 15 points. That's the most by a Spurs rookie in a season opener since Tim Duncan had 15 in his NBA debut in 1997. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Greg Popovich being Greg Popovich, already in mid-season form when he was asked about Luka's performance.
That was average. What the hell? It was a Hall of Fame performance like he does almost every night. He was great. Kyrie wasn't bad either. So, you know, the two future Hall of Famers got us. They took over the game.
Luka went for 33, 13, and 10. It's just one of the, when you watch, there's nothing that stands out where you go, that was an unbelievable play. I mean, there are, he had a great pass to Kyrie, but for the most part, it's just like, all right, I'm going to punch the time clock. I'll give you 33, 13, and 10. Is that good enough? And we've gotten to that point where we just expect those numbers. You're not surprised with any numbers. Now, when he had that big game, when he had, 60 and 20 rebounds, that caught some people's attention. But you're watching last night, and it was really about Victor Wembanyama. And just trying to see, he's not hard to find. You know, exactly. If you tune in and say, hey, find the interesting guy, you go, oh, that guy right there who's 7'5", going up and down the floor. He's going to make these mistakes, and with Pop, he'll help him. He'll help him as well as any head coach, if not more so, because he's had David Robinson and Tim Duncan, but he had them when they were 23, 24 years of age. I'd like to know what he's going to look like at the end of the year, and I think that's what's going to be scary. But we were talking about when you're that tall, like Porzingis, Kristaps Porzingis had a wonderful debut for the Celtics. He had 30, and he's around the same height. He's 7'4". But it used to be when you saw a big man, he was always awkward. Kareem was fluid. Kareem was jazz. He was poetry. And he made it look too easy. Most big men had a hard time making it look easy. And Victor Wembanyama has that ability to make it look easy. His shot is beautiful. I mean, that's a legitimate three-point shooter. Plus, he can get to the hoop and he can block shots. I'm fascinated to see what his evolution, how quickly it's going to happen. But I also wondered, can you be a Hall of Famer and have a disappointing career? Yao Ming is a Hall of Famer. Now, he's a Hall of Famer because, you know, he's from China. There's probably, you know, political ties to that. International star coming over here. It was a big deal when he came to the United States. But I think, I mean, he was 22-11 in his best seasons, played 7 really good seasons, didn't win anything. But he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he lived up to what he was supposed to be. Yeah, Marv.
Now, when you mean disappointment, do you mean disappointment by performance or disappointment by, like, injuries?
Well, did injuries really, you know, bring him down? Was that the biggest reason why he didn't win anything?
At age 29, he had the foot injury.
Yeah.
But before that, he was generally healthy. His first 3 years, he played 80 games, Yao Ming. He averaged about 18, 8, and 2 blocks. Those are nice numbers. His best year, 24, 10, and 2 blocks. 25, 10, and 2 blocks. He peaked at age 26, but he was playing 48 games, 55 games, 57 games. Yeah. It's like if he was the 15th pick of the draft, that's a really nice career. But he came in, that you can find articles, he will change the game. It's what Sean Bradley was supposed to be, blah, blah, blah.
Well, Sean Bradley was different. Sean Bradley was more of a Victor Wembanyama from the standpoint. He was 7'6", ran the floor, could play defense, had a really nice jumper, wasn't a three-point shooter. It just Sean didn't get much better than he was at BYU. And he was the second pick overall, I believe, by Philadelphia. But I think Yao was a disappointment in his performance. Even though I understand the contributions to the game. It's weird to say you're a Hall of Famer, but you should have been better. Who else would I put in there? I mean, Bill Walton's NBA career was a disappointment, but that was injuries. When Bill was healthy, he's as good as anybody who's ever played the game. He understood the game. Ben Simmons is not going to the Hall of Fame. He's been a disappointment. But we're talking about players who are in the Hall of Fame, going to the Hall of Fame, but we expected more out of them. Like Bryce Harper. Has Bryce Harper lived up to the expectations of being on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and he was going to be the LeBron James of baseball? Team trades him, then they win the World Series. He gets Philly to a World Series. He might be a disappointment because of the expectations. Now, you can blame the media for that, but, I mean, it might be a weird topic today, but can you be a Hall of Famer and be a disappointment? Yeah, Seton.
Well, it's definitely a tough topic after one game in the NBA for Victor Wembanyama.
But the expectations, though, are what we're talking about.
Right, and the expectations. So basically what we're saying is the expectations are to be more than a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. He's got to be a Hall of Famer.
No, he's got to be more than a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Because being a Hall of Famer apparently isn't enough.
Well, no, he could be a Hall of Famer.
But still be a disappointment.
Yao Ming a disappointment?
Bryce Harper is a Hall of Famer and a disappointment.
Yes. But Victor Wembanyama could, you know, set the record for blocks and average 25 and 15 for his career.
Yeah, no rings, though.
I know.
Disappointing.
I know. In the NBA, it's about rings, about championships. Yes, Marv.
But we're talking Hall of Fame, but we probably should be talking top 10 all-timer. So LeBron James, probably if he had Joe Johnson's career, he'd be a Hall of Famer. That wasn't the expectation. He would have been a disappointment if he wasn't what he became.
LeBron overachieved. Correct?
Correct.
Yeah, he overachieved.
Despite all of that hype, he overachieved.
Yes. Yeah. And he's still overachieving.
Man, this is like such a moving target.
It is.
Based
yeah.
on...
It's, yes.
There's really no way to... I mean, you know, I think, too, that we should also take Bryce Harper out of this conversation, too, to some degree, because one player in the NBA can have way more of an impact on a game and a season than one player on a baseball team.
Sure.
It's very unfair to put Bryce Harper and be like, you know what I mean, this in the same category as a basketball player.
But we don't count how many World Series rings that you have. You know, Barry Bonds, did he win? But he was a great player. It feels like in baseball, it's like a running back or a wide receiver in football where you don't go, hey, well, how many titles do they have? It's one position. It's quarterback. Baseball, you look at how many Cy Youngs did you have? We might look at MVPs for players, but it doesn't feel like we attach, you know, did you win? How many championships did you win? Yes.
I think that's partially because it's so hard. Mike Trout's never played a meaningful baseball game in his career.
Yep.
Or maybe he's played three.
Yeah.
You know, and what? It's not his fault. It's a team game more in baseball than in the NBA in a weird
but
way.
But Mike Trout's not a disappointment. Mike Trout will probably be statistically be a top 10 career. I think he didn't fulfill the promise we thought of winning something, but statistically, he's going to be one of the great players of all time. Yeah, Paul.
Like Bryce Harper has really good postseason stats. They're, you know, clearly better than Mike Trout because Mike Trout didn't do anything in the postseason. But Bryce Harper in 12 years, he's been top five for MVP twice. So he's had two great seasons out of 12. Yeah. He's had a bunch of average seasons. He usually hits about 280 with about 28 home runs. That's really nice. That's not the next LeBron or the next whatever he was. You know, his first 12 years aren't even sniffing Albert Pujols' first 12 years. I mean, it's not even, wow. It's galactic. Yeah. Bryce Harper hit 281 with 300 homers in his first 12 years. Albert Pujols hit 325 with 475 homers.
But is this on us, the media, or on the player? Because
fair.
The player didn't say, put me on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Now, LeBron called himself the chosen one. You already put a bullseye on you. I don't know if Bryce said, yeah, I am the next, I'm LeBron of baseball here. But Sebastian Telfair, who's that on? That's on us. He didn't say, hey, put me on the cover. I'm going to change the game. Yes, Marv.
I think Sports Illustrated called him the chosen one, and LeBron was like, I'll take it.
Well, he didn't turn it down.
Right, that's what it,
and then you're the king, that you are, you're inviting this.
But, and he wore 23.
Yes, Todd.
So we're saying for Wembanyama, unless he becomes an all-time great, he will largely be a disappointment based on all the expectations coming into his start.
He could have a Tim Duncan career where he doesn't have incredible stats, but he wins. Or you can have incredible stats and you don't win. But I think that'll be in the eye of the beholder if somebody's a disappointment. I think Victor Wembanyama is going to change the game. I think that we have never seen anything like this. That talent, that ability at that age. He's already a seasoned veteran after playing in Europe and coming over here, playing with Pop, smaller market, San Antonio. I think you ease him in to start him, and then once he gets there, it's like when Greek Freak realized, I can be the best player in the game. Well, Victor Wembanyama already has a head start on the Greek Freak. He's already a better player than the Greek Freak was. Far better shooter. And you have that ability. Now you need confidence. Now you understand the game. And then that's when it's going to be dangerous. That's when you're going to see how great he truly can be. Yes, Seton.
LeBron embraced Chosen One so much he tattooed it across his back.
Okay, so did I.
He's all in.
Yeah.
I wonder, too, when you look at draft order, how much that plays into things. Like, Albert Pujols, let's get rid of him, right? He was, the 18th pick of the 13th round or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's a unicorn.
So
we'll
he's
it.
Already a great story because nobody had any expectations.
Correct. Somehow, the greatest hitter of the generation teams missed on at least 13 times.
And Mike Piazza was only drafted because Tommy Lasorda was what?
Somehow everybody
Godfather.
Missed that.
Yeah, they all missed that.
Who knows what happened there?
Yeah.
But, Bryce Harper going number one overall, Victor Wembanyama going number one overall, once you have that label, and you've also probably going into that with magazine covers, is anything less than Victor Wembanyama changing the game, like you just said, now going to be a disappointment?
Probably to some people, yeah. But it depends on how you, what are your calculations to come up with that guy is one of the great players of all time. Winning is always, especially in the NBA, winning is the great elixir there, the great eraser that you won. You can't, why do we start with Jordan in the NBA? Because he won. Well, LeBron didn't win as many. LeBron lost in the NBA. It all comes down to winning. Now, is LeBron a better basketball player than Michael? In my opinion, he is. I have to factor in longevity, and I don't want to get into this argument today. I think it's a silly argument. But Mike won. Mike didn't lose. LeBron did. But LeBron is playing at a higher level for a longer period of time than Michael. And he's also, got a championship later on in his career. Yes, Marv.
Now, if you're drafted number one in any sport, isn't the expectation to be a life changer for the franchise?
I think you got to be a sure thing. I think you just have to go, that guy is great.
So it just depends on the player, right? Because some drafts are stronger than others. And, next year they're not going to have a Wembanyama. So there's hey, look, he's a really good player. He's the best player available. So we'll take him number one.
But he's going to a team that was in position for a reason to draft him number one. You're going to a team that's not very good. That, like Tom Brady, if he went number one overall, probably wouldn't be Tom Brady. He went to a team that was a good team, Hall of Fame coach, and a really good roster, and he eased into the lineup. He said that to me years ago on the show. He said, if I was a first-round pick, then I probably would have washed out. I wouldn't have been great because the expectation level. Like Russell Wilson, he was an underdog story. Dak Prescott, underdog story. Tim Couch, number one pick overall, bust. Ryan Leaf, number two pick overall, bust. Yeah, Paul.
I think the NBA has changed so much because of the one-and-done rule. The days of the sure thing coming to the NBA are well over. I mean, if you look at the past 4 or 5 years, no offense, but DeAndre Ayton was the number one pick. He was a nice college player. He wasn't dominating anything.
But if Luka was number one overall.
Right, and he played college here, but they don't play long enough. You go back to the 80s, and you have guys like Patrick Ewing, where the NBA was waiting for him for 4 years. David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon. I think the last guy who was the college sure thing, and he only played 2 years, was Shaq. Shaq could have gone his freshman year and been the number one pick easily. It would have been a layup. But his sophomore year, he was averaging, 28, 14, and 5. He was dominating. And when he walked into the league, you expected domination as a rookie, and he gave it to you. And I think he's the last guy to do that.
But it goes back to what I've talked about with the Hall of Fame. If you had the penthouse, you had the third floor, second floor, first floor, you know, Yao Ming is maybe a second floor, maybe first floor. You know, the other guy's penthouse, and then third floor. It's, you can be really good. You can be a Hall of Famer. But also the expectation level was, and I remember when those private workouts with Yao Ming, and then they were showing him shooting jumpers, and we're like, oh, my God, Yao Ming. And I went to see him. I went to Houston to see him play in a game. Coutinho Mobley, Stevie Franchise.
Ooh.
And I'm watching the game, and I'm going, they're not even throwing the ball to Yao. They were. And I asked Rudy Tomjanovich after. I said, they weren't even throwing the ball. He goes, oh, they will. Oh, they will. So, Victor Wembanyama, welcome to the NBA. Expectation. The expectations are larger on him than they were on Luka or Greek Freak or the Joker. Now there's no surprise when you come in from playing in Europe. It used to be like, man, have you seen this guy, Luka? And I remember watching him play. And I go, yeah, but will he be able to do that in the NBA? Yes. Yeah. Joker wasn't, you know, he wasn't hyped. You know, he was out of shape. As Doc Rivers said, it looked like he's just a big bartender out there. I'm being smoked by a bartender out there, which is a great description. All right, let me take a break. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We have the gambling podcast that Bad Larry, Shea and Irving, and Dylan the Graphics Guy will take part in coming up later on today after the show. It'll be available at danpatrick.com. It is a lot of fun, and we do get around to talking gambling. So Dylan the Graphics Guy, who famously said that he's taken Stanford money line to beat Colorado a couple of weeks ago, said on the podcast that he was taking, during when the baseball playoffs started, he was going to take the Diamondbacks and the Rangers to play in the World Series.
That is wild.
So he said it. He didn't bet it.
Yeah, it's this.
But he said it.
Tale as old as time.
But he does have the Rangers winning the World Series. He took the Rangers to win the World Series, and he said prior to the baseball playoffs, Diamondbacks, Rangers in the World Series. Yes, Marv.
At least he bet on F1.
He does bet on F1. He's very big on F1. Nobody else is betting on Formula One, I don't think, but Dylan is. So that'll be coming up later on today. Marvin gets to stay in there, so Marvin's recording it, and then he puts it together, puts it up on the website. And there are times when I have to bring Marvin in because stuff is said that somebody else needs to comment on other than me. And Marv sometimes will be like, wait, what did Bad Larry just say?
Yep.
Usually one of those per episode.
Blackjack dealer, what'd you say?
By the way, the NASCAR playoffs continue at Martinsville. The race to the championship goes straight through the heartland. That'll be Sunday, 2 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. All right, a couple of phone calls. And then nobody is more excited about the possibility of Sam Darnold starting for the 49ers against the Bengals coming up this weekend. By the way, how did that injury impact the odds makers? Brock Purdy's concussion announcement, the Niners were blank versus the Bengals. The team is now blank versus the Bengals. The game in San Francisco. Todd, the Niners were blank.
They were 5.5-point favorites, and now it's down to 2.5.
Okay, you got the first part. They were 5.5-point favorites. Sam Darnold, as the quarterback, the 49ers are blank. Marvin, you being a Niners fan?
They're now 1.5 favorites.
Paulie?
3.5.
Bloop, bloop. 3.5-point favorites.
Indictment of Purdy.
Brock Purdy. What's an indictment of Sam Darnold?
I was going to say they were 6.5-point favorites.
Wow.
This is the chance they've been waiting for.
That's what Paulie should have said if he truly believes in Sam Darnold. He was a sure thing 6 years ago, wasn't he? Wasn't he the safe pick?
Actually, about 8 years ago, he was a sure thing. Because then he came back for the dreaded year after the year.
Yeah.
And now I think he's 6 years into his career,
but
maybe seven.
He had to come back.
Right.
He couldn't leave.
Right.
Yes, Paul.
So I think there's a path for Sam Darnold to get back to NFL relevancy and get paid. Right. Now, he's 26 years old. And his 3 years with the Jets weren't as bad as people think. I know you're laughing out there. 45 touchdowns and 39 picks. That's not horrible.
Okay.
That's about the same as Alex Smith's first 4 years,
okay,
right? And Sam Darnold last year had 7 touchdowns and 3 picks for Carolina, and he was 4-2 as a starter. He kind of built back some credibility last year. Then he goes to the Niners to be a backup, and which is a smart play for he and his agent, because if he can, these next two games, let's say in the next two games he throws for 4 touchdown passes and 0 picks. You know, 250 a game, 2 touchdowns, no picks, couple clean wins, some nice stats. He'll get paid next year. Someone will take a chance. Like if you're,
but why would I take a chance on Sam Darnold at 27 when I can get a rookie coming in?
If you can't get the rookie, let's say you're the Atlanta Falcons, who have all the skill position players and they're not sure about their quarterback Desmond Ridder, who gives the ball up a lot. You may call Sam Darnold and say, "Can you give us 3 years for $60 million?" You know, one of those Ryan Tannehill type deals.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know.
Okay. Ryan Tannehill did have a resurgence with the Titans.
Going back to Jimmy Garoppolo, remember when he had that opportunity when Tom Brady got suspended?
Mm-hmm.
He was 26 years old and he was 25. Check that. He was 25 years old. He got 2 starts. He was 2-0, 4 touchdowns, 0 picks.
Yeah.
In those two games, he got a gigantic deal from the San Francisco 49ers based off 2 NFL starts. There is a path.
But Atlanta could have picked up Sam Darnold, though.
Yeah. But
it's not like they go, hey, he wasn't available. He was available to anybody.
I'm almost not saying this is right or wrong. It's just this is Sam's chance. He's either going to be Colt McCoy, where he is a really nice backup who says all the right things for 8 years. Or, you know, Geno Smith got a second chance at 30 out of a weird one.
So yeah.
There's time. But he's still youngish. People still remember the USC promise with Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. And also the Jets get a lot of the blame for his struggles. They always do.
Yeah, Seton O'Connor?
I'm guessing the Panthers get a blame, too, for not playing him either. But this is, you can't argue with the fact that this is Sam's chance because he's actually playing. So obviously now, yes, there is a chance that maybe if he plays well this one game, maybe 2 games, that he might get a chance somewhere else. I just don't know that people are clamoring for, like, that's the Sam we've been waiting for. Did you see what he did against the Bengals?
Not today, not before the start. Mm. In 2 weeks. Let's say he plays.
So Paulie is ahead of the story.
Yes.
Right?
The best thing that can happen to Sam Darnold is not to play 8 games and play average, is to play 2 games and play well and get right back to the bench as fast as you can.
But if I'm the Niners, I don't want to let him go because I'm not quite sure about Brock Purdy health status moving forward. He's not a big guy. And maybe you want to keep Sam Darnold for that insurance policy here. Yes, Marv?
Does this start another quarterback controversy? Like, Sam Darnold? Or does this, keep up with the narrative that, hey, anybody could play quarterback for the 49ers and be good?
Yeah, Seton.
There's a huge problem with this story. Massive. It's called Week 9. That's their bye week. So that means that Brock Purdy has to be out for at least 3 weeks for Sam Darnold to get 2 games in.
Oh, so it's Bengals bye?
Bengals bye, Jaguars. Mm. That just feels like a story that, unfortunately, I wish it was going to be written, but man, does it feel like it's not going to be.
Okay, 1 game, 3 touchdowns, 260.
$60 million.
Bye week, all the buzz of the bye week, it'll be all about Sam Darnold for 2 weeks.
While Purdy's in the concussion, protocol.
He might completely ball against the Bengals, and then that bye week is spent creating the quarterback controversy. Right.
Remember, Paulie was so excited this morning, and we were all shooting it down. He's like, no, listen to me. 2 games. He could get like a $60 million contract, three years. And we go, no.
This is based off NFL history, though. Okay. Teams do this all the time, right or wrong. Scott Mitchell played like 3 games for the Miami Dolphins and got $1 zillion from Detroit.
Who was it? Matt Flynn?
Matt Flynn.
With the Packers.
He didn't even start. They gave Russell Wilson the gig.
Yes, Mark.
Rob Johnson.
Yeah. There's some stupid front office people. Like you go, man, did you see Matt Flynn ball out against the Lions? Yeah. He threw for 400 yards. We're going to bring him in. So the organization that is credited for Geno Smith and drafting Russell Wilson Jr. III also has to be blamed for bringing in Matt Flynn as well. Correct. Seattle Seahawks. And now you brought in Geno, so now they're back to being, that's a brilliant organization. Yes, Pauling.
Geno Smith went from he was no longer a starter at age 25. He basically sat playing here and there. He started 3 games in 7 years, and he got the big contract, big-ish contract, not the big one, but the medium contract last year. He threw 30 touchdowns last year, 70% led the league in percentage, and at 32 years old got another big contract.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Great story.
Not a lot of Geno Smiths out there, though.
Are you sure?
I mean, people who, like, at 30 years old got the medium-ish, big-ish contract.
Yeah.
Alex Smith is a good example, though. Alex Smith, and he was a first-round pick, had a lot of expectations. He was very with the 49ers, and he had that injury year. Then he kind of got it back together, and then they stumbled into Kaepernick and bailed on him.
Yeah.
And he dropped right into the Chiefs' lap with a good team.
And then they bailed on him, too, for the next, for the real quarterback.
Yeah.
And Alex Smith, because of all that goodwill he built up with the Chiefs, Washington gave him $1 zillion.
It's like you have the girlfriend and you go, yeah, I really like her. And then all of a sudden you have the girlfriend and you go, no, I really love her. Feels like Alex Smith was always, hey, I really like him. And then somebody else would come along and go, oh, I really love her.
I don't think the NFL pays goodwill. I really don't. If they did, running backs wouldn't be like, hey, what about us? What about all the goodwill I built up running,
goodwill,
busting my ass for the last 3 years and getting my head crushed in? How about that goodwill? No, see you later. There's another guy right behind you.
Yeah. He needs to get that bell that you ring, goodwill, just ringing it there. Big bucket over here to put your donations in. What, Paulie?
All right, let's get it out of the way now then, because we got to do it before the result. Because if Sam Darnold has 300 yards and 3 touchdowns this weekend, it's too late. What will Sam Darnold be doing next year for a living and where? Backup, starter, and where? Which one? Backup or starter or and where?
Backup, San Francisco.
Backup or starter or where?
Yeah.
That's the new segment.
Yeah.
Backup or backup, starter or where?
Starter.
Get those sponsors, Seton. Get those sponsors.
Yeah. Backup. We need a battery, like
backup or starter
startup.
Or where? Backup or starter or where? Backup or starter or where? Backup or starter or where?
Marvin, Sam Darnold, next season.
who'll be a starter for a game in San Francisco.
Okay.
Next season.
All right. So he's going to be a backup who gets a start next year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Now you got to play the game. Are you listening?
Did. Yeah. I'm here.
He could just play one game and then he doesn't play anymore.
He'll be a backup in San Francisco.
Okay, and he gets one start.
And one start.
Todd.
Backup San Francisco, at least two starts. I raise you a start.
Seton O'Connor.
Oh, man. It's almost impossible to predict this kind of thing because who the hell cares? But
Paulie does.
Yeah.
Paulie.
Yeah, I know.
Good sports radio conversation.
Yeah, it makes for good sports radio conversation. I'm going to say, you know what? He's going to be starting for the Falcons.
Oh!
There you go.
Okay. That's still Paul's thing.
That had to be Paulie.
That's understandable.
That's his hot take.
Did you take Atlanta? Sam Darnold starting in Atlanta?
No, he'll be backing up somewhere. Maybe the 49ers, maybe somewhere else.
What about you, Paulie?
He'll be the starter for the Minnesota Vikings.
What?
Wow. That is hot.
They may have an opening.
That's hot. I think they
resign. Would you rather have Kirk Cousins or Sam Darnold? No, hour three poll question.
No, you want Kirk D. Cousins.
For 150 for 3 years.
Kirk Cousins is going to be the quarterback with the Vikings next year. I think they bring him back. Yes, Marv.
Is Paulie related to Sam Darnold?
Not technically, no. No. Not yet.
We're all brothers. We're all human.
Yeah. All right, a couple of phone calls in here. I don't know what the hell happened today. Wendell in Music City. Hi, Wendell.
Hey, Dan. Good to talk to you again. Happy Thursday.
Well, thank you, Wendell.
Yeah, third-time caller, 9 3/4.
Hands. Yeah.
Yep. Hey, I was going to call in when you started talking about all the potential of these young athletes and their expectations. And it got me thinking, even before the last poll question was up, about Kayla Williams. Got a pie-in-the-face challenge to any of the guys.
Mm.
Here we go. I'm not an expert on all things USC, but looking at Kayla Williams, if he is taken in the top three spots, he will not win 10 games in the NFL as a starter before he's deemed a bust.
So we're already calling him a bust, that he won't be a quarterback on a 10-win team. Is that what you're saying, Wendell?
He won't win 10 games as a starter before he's deemed a bust.
Okay. Well, that is a complete bust. Anybody want a piece of Wendell? Yes, Paulie.
Yeah, that's a nice 4-year from now bet. I love those.
Yeah. And I'll be retired. We won't be doing the show, and we'll never hear from Wendell.
That's gutsy, though.
Okay. Luciano in New York. Luciano, welcome back.
Good morning, couple. Marvin, Peace King, what up, son? And to the good fellas, Todd, Seaton, Paulie, what's it about? All right, Dan, this is why you get the big bucks here on this one.
All right.
All right, so it's important before you make this ruling that I articulate just how visceral feelings are with the brothers amongst each other with this argument, because yesterday led to a pretty nice little dust-up and some fists were throwing. And this comes up pretty much every year when this particular player starts to play at a certain level.
Wait, guys were fighting at the barbershop.
Couple fist fights. And just in case you're wondering, don't worry about it. I gave the guy a terrific beating yesterday, so you don't even have to worry about it.
LeBron right? James.
All right, so for the last 5 years, this has become a problem when this particular player starts to play at a certain level. So I need you to answer not just who's the better quarterback is or was, but the more electrifying quarterback, Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick?
Who is more electrifying? You know what? We'll take a break, then we'll come back, and we'll, because I don't know if it's a, oh, that's the obvious answer there. So Luciano, man, it led to fisticuffs there. They were throwing punches. Man. More phone calls coming up. You imagine it, you're at the barbershop? Well, the barbershop is different. You know, in a black community, barbershop is where you just go and you get to have these arguments. You get a haircut maybe, or you might just hang out.
Sometimes. Hey, Mr. Jones, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm just hanging out.
Yeah.
Like, I hate my wife. Oh, okay. No, you too? Hang out.
I don't know if you say that out loud. that you hate your wife?
In the barbershop.
Oh, you can?
It's amongst just men.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes, Todd.
Close fist punch or attack with scissors in the barbershop? Which is worse? Because they have some things at their disposal that could be a...
What would you rather not have?
This is the one time Todd opened his mic today, and it was for that.
Yeah, you haven't said a word.
I think I said a couple
of things. We're 90 minutes in.
Play the tape back. I'm and you sure go,
that is tough.
No, you didn't say anything.
I haven't said
even when
anything.
I went to you an hour ago, and you go, I lost
me 2 minutes after I raised my hand.
My train of thought.
I missed the moment.
Yes, Eden.
Well, Todd, why don't we ask you, would you rather be attacked with a closed fist punch or scissors?
I'll take the punch.
Of course you would.
Makes my Sam Darnold scissors. Bit look fantastic. Yeah. I mean, my Sam Darnold bit is crushing now.
Thank you, Todd. I'll talk to you at the end of the show.
Oh, good grief.
I like when you lose your thought, you know, your train of thought there. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Guess who made their NBA debut on this date? One Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Perhaps you've heard of him. Paulie, what's the stat line on Jordan?
It was, this day in history, Bullets at Bulls. Bulls won 109. It was not a full house. They got 75% full that first game. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks for Jordan, and 5 turnovers. He finished, played 40 minutes. He was 5 of 16 from the field. No threes.
Overrated.
Orlando Woolridge led all scores.
Oh. I wonder what they must have thought when Jordan came in, because you had those guys, and that wasn't a good Bulls team. Was Quentin Daly on that team?
He sure was, and he pumped in 25 that night.
Quentin loved to shoot, man.
Yep.
He loved to shoot.
He didn't like to do the other things right.
No, he did not. No. But they, you know, Jordan coming in, they're like, oh, God, who's this guy? You know, he's not going to take our shots. And then all of a sudden, yeah, he's going to take your shots. He's going to take all of them. He's Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, and he works on Football Night America, former NFL quarterback. And before I get to Thursday Night Football, we had somebody call in and say, more electrifying quarterback, Michael Vick, Lamar Jackson.
Ooh.
Not better, electrifying.
Right. Gosh. I mean, listen, I think the world of Lamar Jackson, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, I saw Michael Vick firsthand, and, you know, he was the first of his kind as far as anything like what we're seeing today. It was just rare. First off, I mean, let's set it up. I mean, going back to the old Atlanta Dome back in the day with the DJ in the third row and Michael Vick was playing, man, that place was hopping. And then a Nike commercial that's a roller coaster ride, that should just tell you how electric it was. And then watching him on the football field, right, he had a rocket left arm, and the quarterback was the fastest guy on the field. You know, I never found myself more on the sidelines on like 3rd and 18 going, I hope we can stop him from not getting the first down, right? He'd turn the corner and run. You'd be like, oh, no, he's going to get 20. So I'll go with Michael Vick there. He was unreal to watch in person.
All right, Thursday Night Football, we got the Bills and the Buccaneers. And it's a no-win situation for Buffalo. Even if you win, you're supposed to. Then we're going to look at it with style points. How did they win? How did Josh Allen do? Stephon Diggs happy? Like, there's a lot going on in Buffalo. I don't know exactly what it is. And also, what do you see when you see Josh Allen?
Right. Well, I mean, one, injuries on the defense, right? That's a big issue for them. I think that's why you've seen them kind of fall apart a little there. Matt Milano, you can't, you know, disregard that injury. Definitely one of the best linebackers in football, probably the best player on their defense. Tre'Davious White, other injuries in the secondary. Ed Oliver isn't hurt, right? Daquan Jones, their big D tackle, who's really good. He's done for the year. So they got issues there. Offensively, Dan, you've heard me say this before, right? There's just not enough there. There's not enough there as far as premium talent compared to the other teams, let alone the scheme itself. Is there's nothing elite that they do. What do you defend when you defend the Buffalo Bills right now? To me, the last three games have shown it. And last three games, which I, you know, because my podcast listeners want me to explain what's going on with the Bills, three teams in a row basically said, we're not going to let Josh Allen throw 60-yard lasers, and we're not going to let him run around and make magic plays. If we stop those two things, their offense is pretty average. And I think that's what you're seeing here more than anything. They have no element of their offense that makes the defense go, oh, wait, we have to stop this or this and that. And so they're never compromised. It's all about just stopping 17, and he's going to throw to Diggs. And after that, everybody else can live with the repercussions.
Yeah, I just, it feels like Stephon Diggs is one moment away from, you know,
sure,
blowing up,
yeah,
here. And I don't know. That's it. It
feels frustrated.
Like their window of opportunity is closing rapidly, because it felt like the media was pushing, like Josh Allen MVP, Bills going to the Super Bowl. And now they've cooled considerably. And I just wonder where they stand in the AFC right now of, you know, Super Bowl contenders.
No, yeah, I think they're down the list considerably. Before the year started, Dan, and I'm not trying to, you know, I'm wrong a lot, you know, I'm right a lot too. I did not pick them to go to the playoffs. I did not look at them as a playoff team. You know, I looked at it and went, wait, it's the same team as last year. They got a tight end in the first round, and they got a new guard to play with. To me, that wasn't enough to go, oh, they're ready to compete with Kansas City and Baltimore and Miami and those type of football teams on a weekly basis. No. You know, it's too much. And I talk to people around the league about the Bills all the time. And I said this today on PFT to Mike Florio. You know, I've been and I said this, and I'll even say it again. Devin McCourty, myself, we've talked to people up in Buffalo who have basically said, like, they don't feel they can win the game unless Josh Allen takes over. There's that feeling there. Mm. There's just not enough there. He's one of the greatest talents in the sport. He is phenomenal. But every week is about him playing with his hair on fire and him making magic happen and throwing to Stephon Diggs. And after that, you just go, well, who's going to be something else this week on the offense? And I think the Bucs will keep that game uncomfortably close for them tonight.
If they don't make the playoffs, then what?
That's the big question. I would think that, I'm not in favor of a regime change. I'm not. I'm definitely not. I'm a believer in McDermott and what he's done up there. And like you kind of said, they've been in the Super Bowl window for like 4 or 5 years here, yeah. Right? You know, they've built a damn good team. I think their biggest thing, I think one, if they don't get to the playoffs, you're going to hear talk about Ken Dorsey, right? Whether that's right or not, that's what's going to happen. And then the other thing is, I think you're going to hear a lot of like, hey, they got to get some other star players on their football team, especially the offensive side of the ball. There's got to be more sizzle to that football team. You know, you look at the other top teams in the AFC, and we can go through Jacksonville, Baltimore, Miami, Kansas City, right? You even get into, like, Cleveland, and I'd go, their skill guys are all better than Buffalo. Yeah. And that's concerning a little bit.
Brock Purdy is in the concussion protocol. Yeah. Now you have Sam Darnold. He's still 26. He's been 26 for 3 years, it feels like. So he's going to be able to come in and play. Kyle Shanahan, doesn't matter who's the quarterback, they're going to probably put up good numbers. Can Sam Darnold somehow play himself into a starting role elsewhere, a job offer?
I think he needs more than one game, right? I think one game will make people feel good, and you know that can probably like lock down a high-end backup job next year, no matter what, to where he gets paid good backup money.
But Garoppolo got this. Matt Flynn got this.
Right.
I mean, there have been guys who have gotten contracts off of two or three good games.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. You know, I think there's a little bit more scar tissue with Sam Darnold around the NFL from what we've seen with other teams in there to where, you know, I'm not sure everyone's just going to buy into Sam Darnold. Shanahan believes in the guy. He's got talent. As you said it, I mean, Shanahan makes a lot of quarterbacks look really, really damn good, right? But I do think to be a starter, I think he'd probably need, two, three, four games to kind of to prove that to a team to go, okay, wait, we're ready to pay him significant money to be a starter for our football team.
We're talking to Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, contributes to Football Night in America. I'm wondering about the boredom of the media sometimes, because when we keep waiting for a team to supplant the Kansas City Chiefs,
right?
And they've got the surest thing in football. They got Mahomes to Kelsey.
Right.
Nobody has that. Yeah. It's Stockton to Malone. Every year. You know, it's coming. Yes. You can't stop it.
Right.
So it feels like we get bored and we need that new story. And we keep trying to go outside the lines and go, you know, the Dolphins, I'm just saying that they could be, hey, the Bengals, they don't count. Browns, don't count them out. You know, the Ravens, dark. Kansas City is still the team to beat in the AFC, correct?
Correct. Okay. Correct. Now, are they perfect? No. They're another team that I kind of look at right now and go, they could use a little more firepower on the offensive side of the ball, in my opinion. It's what's different about them this year, though, is they can run the ball, and they have their D is legit. I mean, it's legit. Scoring points against that team, moving the ball, it's not easy. So that's where they're a little different. And then, like you're saying, I mean, 15 is already in the upper room of the Hall of Fame. He's like a Hall of Famer of Hall of Famers here already. We're talking about already one of the all-time greats of the sport. And you're right. So, you know, even without the lack of firepower, the way he plays, the creativity of Andy Reid and Matt Nagy a little bit, that makes up for the lack of firepower in that department. But, yes, they're the kings until dethroned there. Now, Baltimore is like the real deal.
I like Bolden. Yeah. I like Bolden.
And Jacksonville, I think, is a team, too, to continue to watch here that has complete talent across the roster. They're young. They're still learning how to win a little bit. But when they play, those two teams, the Ravens and Jags, play their best. I look at them on film, Dan, and go, whoa, they're up there with the big boys. Now, they just got to do it more consistently. But I think those are two teams, to me, that have the talent and across the board to maybe pull an upset off against the Chiefs in the playoffs.
And the Chiefs' defense is ranked higher than the Chiefs' offense for the first time since Mahomes has been there. That's the scary right. part to me.
Exactly.
That's where I go, okay, now you have my attention.
Uh-huh. It's the Chiefs, we all know they're throwing and they're points and it's sexy and it's fun to watch. The one thing they don't get credit for, their O-line can pass protect, and their defense, every year, even when they weren't as statistically good as they are this year, when they need to get physical in an AFC title game and stop Derrick Henry in the run game, they do it. Oh, we got to stop Shanahan and the 49ers in the run game in the Super Bowl, they do it. They don't get the respect for the physicality they have. Oh, we got to stop the Eagles and the best offensive line we've seen in football in the last 15 years? Oh, we'll do it. So there's a little nice blend of creativity and showmanship and toughness with that Chiefs team that I absolutely love.
Great to talk to you as always.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Always Chris. Great talking to you. Tell the guys I said what's up.
Your hair looks good, as always. Top button is buttoned. I mean, when you go home.
Yes.
Is the top button buttoned when you walk in to say hello to your wife and kids?
If there's a button up top, it's buttoned up, man, all the time.
Always.
Always.
When you
always,
go to bed yeah. and you have your pajamas, are they buttoned all the way to the top?
I'm a naked sleeper, Dan. Sorry. That's probably too much information, but that's how I sleep. All right.
Hold on. Nothing?
Nothing. I can't stand it. I can't stand anything on me anywhere. So, yes.
I need a second source on this.
All right. Well, my wife loves you. Right, so if you want to bring her on sometime, and she can tell you all about it.
All righty.
All right.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, guys. See ya.
Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host. Now try to get that image out of your head. Maybe you don't want to. Yeah. Maybe you don't want to. Naked. Anybody sleep naked here? Todd?
I do not. I'm usually looking at a t-shirt and sweats or shorts or something.
Okay. Seton?
No, I'm usually like in my underwear.
Okay. Marv?
No. Not to stay out of my personal life.
Okay. All right. My bad. My bad. I'll get out of my grill. Paulie?
Borderline, but no. As close as you could be without it.
What does that mean?
I hate wearing like anything to bed, like
do you
socks.
Have a thong?
Again, like Marvin said, stay out of my personal life.
Is that like socks?
Are you the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I can't wear it. You can't have anything on your legs.
Give it away. Give it away. Give it away now.
You know, flee.
I wear my basketball uniform just in case the game breaks out.
Still fits.
Yeah, it does. It's snug.
You get out of bed, you rip the pants off?
Yeah. Yeah. Got my, what are those called? Those
tearaways?
Yeah, tearaways.
No, when you get in the bed, you're supposed to do
whoa,
the tearaways.
Whoa, yeah. Hey, why don't you get out of my personal life?
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The brilliant EQE SUV from Mercedes-Benz, available with digital light technology. So smart, even the headlamps are thinking. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more. mbusa.com/EQE-SUV.